Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of Pandemic Fine. I'm Steph, and I'm here with my friend Amy today, a new guest. Not that we're tired of John, but I thought maybe it was time to mix things up, so say hello.
Hi, everybody. I'm so excited to be here.
So today we're going to talk about pandemic eating, which has been a hot topic, I think, since March of 2020. I mean, what are people going to eat? How are they going to get their groceries? How are they going to make sure that they're keeping it tight, if you will, during our time at home? I do want to warn you before we dive into our discussion that we may be using some four-letter words that some people might not approve of, but nothing too crazy. So if there are children in your car and you're trying to listen to it right now, just, you've been warned. So at the beginning of the pandemic, I remember like schools closed down for 2 weeks and I have a Instagram account that I use with my students. And I thought I was being like all cutesy and funny. And I posted a picture of myself going to the grocery store with gloves on, no mask, but gloves on. I was like, I guess we're trying this. And now looking back, like, oh, what a fool she was. Forget the gloves, put on a mask. Although the gloves weren't a bad idea at first, I guess. So obviously our attitudes towards grocery shopping have changed greatly in the past 14 months. We have become much more reliant on Instacart and Harris Teeter pickup. If you guys are not familiar with Harris Teeter, you might know them as Kroger in other parts of the world. What are your thoughts on these pickup services that we've all gotten so used to using?
Well, I am a big fan of actually the delivery service. It is way worth the $5.95 to go into an app, order everything I need, and have it delivered to my door, my front porch, or sometimes on one occasion, delivered to the front of my driveway, like stuffed underneath my husband's car. I actually think I got an Uber driver fired once because I thought that they misdelivered my groceries. Because we couldn't find them, even though they said it was delivered. So we've been doing that. But I remember just going back to what you said about, you know, those first couple weeks in the pandemic. I remember going online when the CDC recommended, like, you know, to wear a mask, and like no one had masks, and making a mask out of a bandana and hair ties for like my 2 week grocery shop. You know, when they said the pandemic was going to last 2 weeks, and like how far I came from like that giant cart full of like chocolate chip cookie dough like mix to now is like I've ordered the same things.
Okay, so I remember wiping down groceries, and it was such a pain in the neck. You'd have them all over your floor, and then my husband and I would try and do, like, a chain of command and, you know, wipe it down and then put it away and then keep on rotating until all the items have been wiped down. Thank God that turned out to be kind of a hoax and that we don't really need to wipe things down, and then it's mostly just an airborne virus. Because that added a lot of time to my shopping time. I wanted to talk also about like the first couple of weeks of the pandemic, maybe not weeks, maybe months. There was a lot of TikTok food trends, and I wanted to know which ones you tried. One of the ones I was thinking about was Delgado coffee.
So I didn't try that one. So I am considered a geriatric millennial. Therefore, I do not have TikTok on my phone. So I only get the TikToks that then go transfer to the Instagram.
That's where I see mine.
So I did not do the Delgado coffee. I did do the more recent one, which was the TikTok pasta with the feta cheese. Now, and the tomatoes and the garlic. However, I went rogue the first time I made it. I did not use feta cheese. I used goat cheese in replace of the feta cheese. And it was delicious.
Nice.
And everyone in my house ate it. And it was awesome.
Yes. We also did the TikTok pasta. I think we did it with feta. And I would say 2 thumbs up. And the coffee. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, again, I'm also a geriatric millennial. In fact, Amy is younger than me. So I'm like an older geriatric millennial. And I only watch TikToks that make it into Instagram Reels. And I wish I knew what if I was saying it right. But anyway, you young millennials will know what I mean. There's a whipped coffee recipe where you basically have like instant coffee and you're whipping it with sugar. And it's like almost like whipped cream, but coffee. So I tried that. I mean, it tasted great, but it was a lot of work. And so I only made it like the one time.
Have you ever seen those, the vibrating, like, no, I'm not getting inappropriate here. The vibrating milk frother that you can get from IKEA for like $1.25. So all my coworkers Young and old have this milk frother thing that now my husband Justin has one to make his lovely morning coffee, and it's apparently a miracle thing.
Game changer. I do actually what's one of my pandemic purchases was a fancy milk frother, and I do think that frothing my cream before I put in my coffee like definitely makes it taste better. But Delgado coffee is a different breed all to itself, and it's good, but it's not something I would have the energy or interest to make every day. What other strategies did you use to make sure that you were staying on top of your grocery shopping during a time when you weren't allowed in grocery stores?
Well, if anybody knows me, and I know you know me, we've been best friends for a while. I am a planner at heart, so I do a lot of meal planning. And something that I love to use is an app called AnyList.
Never heard of it. I've never heard of it.
Seriously?
I've never heard of it.
It's amazing. Okay, AnyList, AnyList. Get to your app store right now. Download it. You can get like a free trial. It's $7.99 for a year for the paid subscription. Like, totally worth it.
That is worth it. That's a bargain.
You can go on Pinterest. You can have any recipe in your browser. There's like a browser, like, I guess, thing that lets it get into your app. That you can kind of push a button. It's an AnyList import, and you can import it in there into the AnyList app.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so then you have it in there, and it's in your app, and you can automatically add all the ingredients from that recipe into your grocery list. Then it sorts your grocery list by section. So like dairy, grains, vegetables, bread. No, it gets better. So you then, as you're going shopping through the store, through your online cart, you can cross things off, right?
Yeah.
It'll tell you, like, if you're doubling a recipe, you can double a recipe, you can have a recipe, depending on how many portions you need.
Amazing.
Then there's a calendar feature that you can then also, like, do your meal planning. So you can see breakfast, lunch, and dinner through the whole week. There's also a sharing feature, so you can share it with your husband, wife, girlfriend, etc. And it's awesome. So then you can also share recipes with your friends. So let's say you have in your AnyList, you can just all of a sudden email. You can, if your other friend has AnyList, you can send it right to their AnyList app. You can email, print PDF, etc. If you're still printing out recipes on paper, I hope you're not, because that's not sustainable.
I am. I can't believe that you just said that. And I care deeply about the environment, but I do. I do print out recipes, and then I like sort of half-assedly make a grocery list from them on like another piece of paper and carry that with me to the grocery store and inevitably forget at least one item. So this sounds life-changing for me.
This changed my life. I mean, one of my coworkers introduced it to me a couple of years ago, and for my type A personality of having things organized, being able to walk the grocery store, cross things off my list, amazing. And the recipe import and having everything right there. Oh, amazing. Oh,
so interesting. Okay, I'm gonna have to try that, because obviously I've been doing things the wrong way and also hurting the earth along the way. John and I don't, we collaborate on grocery lists constantly, but we usually, just sort of say them to each other, which, as you can imagine, results in often forgotten items. Another thing that I've been doing is ordering a ton from DoorDash. I mean, again, I realize this is coming from a place of privilege, but I really basically stopped cooking during the pandemic, guys. I've never been a chef of any sort, and the pandemic didn't do me any favors. John definitely started cooking way more, and he loves cooking, and he's good at it, and so that's great. So he did cook a lot of our meals, but a lot of times we relied heavily on DoorDash, and I've become pretty dedicated to their service. I've had a few hiccups, but I'm still a loyalist. I'll still order from them anytime. I feel like... we've probably overdone it a little bit, because my children, when they ask me what's for dinner and I say like, oh, I'm making spaghetti and meatballs tonight, like my son will straight up say to me like, ugh, can we just order something instead? which I take both personally and as pride, because he knows what DoorDash is. What are your thoughts on DoorDash?
I mean, I'm not particular. DoorDash, Uber Eats, Grubhub, they're all the loves of my life. I mean, I've had weeks where sometimes we've ordered on an app 4 nights a week during the week because my husband and I both work full time. It's long hours.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Especially during the we're still in the pandemic. I say during the pandemic. Still in the friggin' pandemic. when we were working all day, both of our girls were home. My second grader was in virtual homeschool or virtual school. We were homeschooling my preschooler while working full time. I mean, it was nuts.
It was bananas. Yeah.
Are we supposed to feed ourselves on top of this?
DoorDash.
Right. Exactly. You order on the app.
And I wanted to say that I never said this to you, but I'll say it to you now. I felt very empowered to DoorDash items from fast food restaurants once I knew other people were doing it like you. I just ordered myself a McDonald's coffee on DoorDash. Yes. Why have I not done that yet? I'm trying so hard to be like, if I DoorDash something, I'll make it healthy. No, I'm going to DoorDash what I want.
No.
And that's been very liberating.
Sometimes when the grocery order never showed up or I forgot to order it, for the 1 hour delivery and it came the next day, we would all get McDonald's for lunch because there was no food in the house and people got to eat, you know?
Right. You got to do what you got to do.
And, the kids are happy and, the amount of times that we sat downstairs on the couch in front of the TV eating McDonald's delivered from DoorDash, in those months of solitude of the four of us, I mean, it really brought us together as a family, I have to say.
Those are one of the things your kids remember. Remember, when I was a kid, obviously not during a pandemic, but during regular life, a memory that I have is every once in a while, once every other month or so, my mom would get up extra early. And so while my dad was still getting ready for work and we were still sleeping, she would go to Burger King and get us French toast sticks. And do you think I remember any of the mornings where I had cereal in a bowl, which I probably did every day except for those special days?
Eggs and special breakfast. right, exactly.
I remember the Burger King days. So those are good memories and it is worth it sometimes. You got to indulge sometimes. I remember also that at the beginning of the pandemic, my favorite podcast, which I've mentioned here before, Bitch Sesh, with Casey Rose Wilson and Danielle Schneider. Everyone should be listening to it. Did a lot of episodes during the beginning of the pandemic where Casey Rose Wilson would describe pushing her cart through Costco, just loaded with lean cuisines because she was like, if ever there's a time to keep it tight, it's now. We gotta do it. And then in the next episode of the podcast, she'd be like, forget it. It's too miserable to eat well while you're also under lockdown. And I really appreciated that real talk because I think a lot of people did start out during the pandemic. I'm looking at you, Gwyneth Paltrow, who famously said, maybe you could just use this time to learn a new language, or maybe you could use this time to get in super great shape and run a marathon. No, man, I'm trying to keep my children alive and make this time in our home somehow enjoyable before I lose my mind. And so I really appreciated the realness of that statement. Some people are saying you got to keep it tight, but the reality is keeping it tight is nothing to do with eating healthy. It has to do with keeping your family alive. And that's what we're doing. And that's how we're living.
Right. No, I think, first off, I actually really like lean cuisines. I might be the only person. I actually love lean cuisines, but
congealed noodles.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's fine. I think pandemic time is not the time for diets. I'm a person that tries to eat healthy, but I also give myself grace on a regular basis because while I want to maintain a healthy lifestyle, life is short. And, I think that, it's just not every day can be perfect and you have to understand that. And, going back to, the McDonald's 3 times a week, I mean, that's, a stellar week. I mean, that's, that's me doing great. I mean, but, you just can't, we were in survival mode at that point and you just have to go easy on yourself. But I mean, we're trying to eat healthier, but it's hard. I mean,
it's a struggle. It's a serious struggle. I mean, I think that for me, so I did keto for a little while, basically from December to March of this past couple of months. And I did it just kind of to feel like I need to get this shit under control. Things were running wild from March 2020 to December 2020. And it was time to rein things in. And so I did. And like it was fine, and I didn't actually hate it that much. And I think keto is actually a pretty easy diet to try if you're willing. But I would never ever want to like admit it to someone that I was trying keto because honestly, it's an annoying diet, right? You can't eat sugar, you can't eat carbs. Like, who wants to be around someone who can't eat those things? It's ridiculous.
Right.
And not to bring everything back to Housewives, but I think it's important you should know that in a recent episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey, there was two separate tables of people out to dinner. Okay, there's a group of women, and then their husbands are at the next table. And for an appetizer, without knowing that the other one is ordering the thing, they both, on their own accord, ordered a entree steak to share. I mean, have you ever heard of an entree steak ordered as a shareable appetizer?
No.
No.
I think the chef would refuse to cut it, actually.
Well, not when you're on TV. But so they did get it, and then my again favorite podcast, Bitch Sesh, was dissecting this amazing phenomenon, and you know what they said? It's because they're all on keto, and that just made me feel like, ugh, keto's so annoying. So I'm not on keto anymore. It doesn't mean that I like have totally abandoned what I learned from it. I definitely want to like try and keep up with some of what I learned because I think I feel better when I eat certain ways. But I think that the idea of being on a diet during a pandemic is bananas. Like, you should not be withholding anything. You should be eating in moderation, I suppose. But if you want the Big Mac, get the Big Mac. If you want the bubble tea, get the bubble tea. That's what I did today. That was my indulgence.
Nice.
You know, there's no reason why we should be thinking about the appearance of our bodies when we're trying to survive a deadly virus. I think that's something people often forget.
Right. It's all about balance. I mean, I remember coming over here one day with a delicious box of donuts, for the whole fam, and you're like, "Oh, I can't have one because I can't have sugar." And I actually really felt bad for you because I knew that you really wanted
Yeah,
one,
I
but
did.
yet you couldn't have it. And it's like, please just let me give you one. It'll be okay. It'll be okay.
Yes, it's hard. It's hard. And it's also like, you know, I feel like keto is one of those things like being a vegan or doing CrossFit. Like, how do you know someone's vegan or keto or doing CrossFit? Oh, because they tell you within 2 seconds of saying
I actually
hello.
find that kind of annoying.
Yes, it's
So,
very annoying. It's very annoying.
sorry. Sorry, people.
So, yes, and I appreciate people who are vegan. I appreciate people who do CrossFit and people who are keto, but I don't necessarily need to hear about it.
Yeah. Well, what about snacking? Like, how do you keep yourself in check? I mean, my family in general are big snackers, and you know, a couple members of my family have super high metabolism, so they have to eat constantly. And sometimes, and I think a lot of them, you know, they tend towards the sweet, unhealthy side of the snacking. So, like, how do you stay away from those?
Ugh,
Like,
it's hard. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I tried keto from December to March because, you know, I was working from home. And every time I had a break, I'd go to the kitchen and eat whatever I wanted. And I was realizing I was going to the kitchen a lot more than I would like normally have a snack during the workday. So that's why I tried keto. And I found that the most helpful part about being on keto was that you're eating high protein foods like yogurt or, you know, like meat and cheese or whatever. And that helped me stay full longer. And so I didn't actually want to snack as much. So that's kind of how I curbed that problem. But I can't curb it for my children. It's impossible. They want to snack all the time. They can eat a giant meal and then want to snack immediately afterwards. So I've just tried to make the snacks more healthy options. I'm not sure how well I've done that, but that was kind of what I've tried.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the kids would say that, like, I generally don't buy the snacks that they love very often because I just refuse to. Like, if my son had his choice, he would have fruit roll-ups for his snack every day. Every day, every snack, all the time. And I just can't do it.
Yep.
I can't do it. So I try to fake it with like the organic fruit wraps and like whatever, and he's not buying it. You know, there's something about the OG fruit wrap of fruit by the foot that he just loves.
Yeah. Well, you know, I find that keeping kids at bay while you're working from home is done through snacks. So I
Yes.
have actually kept snacks in the house at all times and all varieties. Actually, Target pickup is a great resource for
Yes,
snacks
good snacking
of
options
all.
there.
All sizes, shapes, and forms, healthy and non-healthy.
Yeah, that reminds me of another moment during the pandemic where I was like, okay, like I'm doing this is fine. When I heard from Amy one day and she was like, I don't even know what's happening in our house right now. Like, her youngest daughter had just run up to her in the middle of a meeting. She's completely nude, and she was like, "Oh, can I have another applesauce?" And Amy told me, she was like, "Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. Whatever." That's a great metaphor for how this is all going. People running around nude asking for additional snacks.
Yes. I think what is brought to my desk for a snack opening while I'm on a Zoom call? And the list is very endless and entertaining. So, tasty cakes are a big thing in my house. We actually have to hide them on the top of the fridge so they're inaccessible to non-tall people. But giant tasty cake cupcake packages are one. Applesauce, like full cups of applesauce brought. One time, a giant bag of marshmallows, like not the mini marshmallows, but the big
Oh yeah,
marshmallows
the
that
big daddy.
are actually for the outside fire pit, but like just, I'm on a Zoom call, I'm in the middle of a meeting, and a giant bag of marshmallows just like comes right in front of my face. I'm like, what do? You open the bag and you get the kid out away from you as soon as possible. Like,
Exactly. You
here
gotta do
you
what you gotta
go.
do.
Yeah, a whole bag of carrot, baby carrots once.
Oh, that's
Yeah, like
healthy.
great choices. And all you have to do is just stop the meeting and say, "Excuse me, one of my coworkers needs a snack. And here she is. Let me assist her and I'll be right back with you." And fortunately,
There you go.
I work for a company that's very understanding and we all have a good laugh and then we move on. But it is crazy. And then I also think that my kids have like supersonic hearing when it comes to my own snacking. So I don't know if your kids are like this, but I mean, my house isn't that big. But honestly, if I am anywhere in the house, like trying to get a snack for myself, they could be off doing anything and they both come running from wherever to be like, "What are you eating? What's going on?" Because they think that I'm eating the most delicious thing ever and I'm gonna offer them like
All
disgusting, healthy,
of
thing for dinner in like 30 minutes, but I'm just having the most delicious thing that they can't
it.
have access to. It's crazy.
Yes, they do seem to have supersonic hearing about that. They also seem to have supersonic hearing about like the moment that I finally have to myself after bedtime where I try and do my workouts, because that's the other thing during the pandemic that I've really shifted to is that normally during the pandemic, I mean, sorry, not during, pre-pandemic, in the before times, I might work out in the morning, I might work out after work, I might work out after bed. I mean, after the kids go to bed. But during the pandemic, it became like I have to only work out after the kids go to bed. There's too much going on all day long. And like, John has calls when I don't have calls. And so it's not like I can, go for a run then. So pandemic workouts have definitely ha forced me to adjust my expectations of what that might look like. And so, I think that the line that rings in goes through my head all the time is, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. So if you can get like some kind of workout in, hooray. It doesn't have to be like the most intense, like cardio, fat burning, whatever. If you get a workout in, that's a success. And so I've really had to adjust my brain to accept that as an achievement, as opposed to only telling myself that like if I'm not sweating a ton, if I'm not going for a run, then I'm not really achieving anything.
Yeah. No, I actually, I am not a big workout person in general, which you may or may not be able to tell from my body type. No, I'm just kidding. I'm very confident in my body and, it is what it is, and I'm not gonna kill myself to be, weigh 110 pounds because my genetics will never, make me 6'4" and weighing 120 pounds. But I need to be healthy to sustain a long life, and I want to be healthy. But I actually found, so I used to do Pilates pre-pandemic. When pandemic started, it was like you don't want to be in an enclosed space with 12 strangers on machines that people are touching all the time. So that kind of ended. And then I have a treadmill, and I actually, I didn't listen to podcasts before the pandemic, and then I started listening to podcasts,
Yay!
so
You
it's
know I love a good
awesome. I
podcast.
know. And then I actually downloaded the Peloton app.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of the Peloton app. I don't own any of their other machinery, but I love the app.
Yes. So I've been doing that. I really like their yoga and their walk-run things to do outside, which is really fun, and I've gotten into it. So
yes, that's a good tip. Peloton app is really, really good.
And it's like $12 a month.
Yeah, so. It's not bad. It's definitely worth the investment. Yeah, I think the other thing that like happened during the pandemic, and maybe it's because I was spending so much time at home, maybe it's because I was turning 37 during the pandemic, but I kind of was like, how many more years am I going to like obsess about eating and working out? How many more years does this go on for? Like, when do I get to just chill out and be like, this is fine? And the answer is, I'm trying to really convince myself of this, is like, right now is the time. Like, it's enough already. It's enough. Like, no one cares. It's ridiculous that we have had like so much exposure to societal expectations that are ridiculous and impossibly difficult to meet. And I'm trying to just really be happy in my own skin and not worry about it as much in the same way that I did in the past. And it's hard, but it's important. And I'm trying really hard to live by those words. Like, I'm trying really hard to, like, you know, not say to my daughter ever, like, does this outfit look good? I try to, you know, if she puts on an outfit and says, like, I don't know if I want to wear this shirt or something, I try really hard to say, like, well, how do you feel in it? Like, it doesn't matter how it looks. It just matters how you feel. Like, I'm trying to apply the same thing to myself. I mean, it's harder and easier said than done for sure. But I think that that's one of the things that the pandemic has really made me focus in on, is like, there has been this incessant voice inside my head for a very long time that's like, you better eat right, you better exercise, or else. And the pandemic has taught me, you know, during all this time sort of at home twiddling my thumbs, that actually or else isn't so bad, or else I'll just still be myself and it will be fine. So that's a big takeaway for me from the past 14 months.
That's great. I mean, well, first off, let me say that you're beautiful and you don't need to change anything about yourself. But I think it's a really good point. And I, you know, I have two daughters, and in raising them, I am trying to figure out what the secret is. And I keep asking my mom, like, I have a lot of confidence in myself. I don't care what people think about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have moments of slip where I'm like, and that shirt could look better on me, or like, you know, I wish my belly was flatter, but like, yeah, I birthed two kids, and
yeah, that's
like,
amazing.
I had a C-section for one of them, so like,
and
I
amazing.
Don't work out on a regular basis. Like, this is not, you know, it's not rocket science. Like,
right,
it is what it is, but right. I'm still beautiful, and
exactly,
you know, this is my life. I'm not gonna waste it, so
yeah,
you know. But how do I instill that confidence in my children and in my daughters? And what is the phrase that I say? Or how do
it's hard.
How do I get them to that level?
Yeah. I mean, that opens up a whole can of worms of parenting.
That's like, a whole different, that's a whole different
podcast.
Episode. I know.
But I did see a mutual friend of ours posted a book called Love My Body.
Oh.
And it's like a children's book. I mean, it's directed towards girls, but I think I made Ev read it, and I think he appreciated it, but like still was trying to understand it a little bit, about, you know, loving your body no matter what size it is. And the other thing I've been trying to do, especially with my kids, is be like, fat isn't a bad word. Like, who cares if you're fat? Fat is a body type. Some people are fat, and that's not a bad thing. It's just the way they are, just the way they come. Just like we've never said that like calling someone skinny is mean. Well, it's not mean. It's just a description, right? Calling someone fat shouldn't be mean either. It's just a description. It's just the way some people look, and it's totally fine. So that's another, you know, mentality shift I'm trying to make during this time. And you know, and I'm sure other people listening know about my good friend from growing up, is a WW expert and lost over 100 pounds using WW's methods. And even he will say to me, like, first of all, everyone has their own struggle. Like, you never know. Like, that person you think that looks so good that you're like, oh, they really kept it together during the pandemic. Like, that person could be miserable. And that's, you know, that's something they're struggling with. And the answer to, you know, mostly everything about the issue of weight and how we look and what we're eating is really just moderation. Like, if you want to have dessert, then have the dessert, but like, maybe don't follow it with 10 bowls of cereal the next morning.
Right.
You know, like, you can do this, it just can't be maybe all at once. So I'm trying to lean into that a little bit too. But yeah, no, society has not made that mentality easy.
I know. I actually just watched or saw something on some social media channel, and it was like comparing pictures of you know, 12-year-olds from 2 decades ago and 12-year-olds of today. And, you
I'm
know, like
scared.
what a cool 12-year-old was in the 80s versus what today's society and a 12-year-old was. And just
I'm
like
scared.
the, I mean, I don't want to have teenage girls at this point. It's just like, oh my gosh, how do I keep my kids' kids for as long as I can? And
That's tough.
it's interesting.
That's tough. Although I will say, so this is the first year that, like, as a teacher, I've noticed my students' outfits. Like, we've come full circle. I saw a girl walking to school the other day, and she was wearing exactly, like, almost to the toe, the outfit I wore to my first day of freshman year of high school. She had on wide leg jeans.
Those are back in
They're
style.
back in style. Converse sneakers, back in style. She had on a slightly baggy t-shirt and a Adidas like warm-up jacket. And I was like, that is literally what I wore in ninth grade to the first day of school. So like it's coming back. And things people are wearing
Good.
loose clothing. The girls that I teach are like look so comfortable. And that's what I want to see. Like if it feels good, that's what you should be wearing. And they look comfortable, so I'm gonna say we're in a good phase of fashion right now.
Good. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm still wearing leggings and then like a professional top. Like I'm like work from home on the bottom and then like professional on the top. Like I look crazy when I'm walking around my house like working, but like it's fine. And like, are we gonna go back to like, am I ever gonna need like a suit again to like go to the
Will
office?
you ever need pants again?
Right, exactly.
I did see a funny, like, I think it was a meme or something about like if you're going to a job interview, like the one question you could ask to really test the candidate is like, can you stand up right now if you're on a Zoom interview? And if they can't stand up, I mean, I guess that shows that they're the same as the rest of us.
Right, exactly.
There you go.
That makes it human.
Well, Amy, any last thoughts before we wrap up?
Well, I really enjoyed our time. I felt like we went from eating habits to exercise to body image, so like all in one. You know, I feel like, you know, my favorite quote is, "You can have it all, you just can't have it all at once." And I feel like that's a really good thing to leave you with. And I'm really happy that you invited me, and I hope you'll invite me back because
Absolutely.
Pandemic fine is basically the state that I live in, and will
The new
probably be
normal.
living in for, you know, the foreseeable future. So I
Yes,
appreciate you having
definitely.
me today.
Well, thank you. And I love that quote. I think that's so true. You can have it all, but not all at the same time. All right, well, we'll see you next time for Pandemic Fine. Bye, everybody.